are so good. So good, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and be seated. I just want to talk about Jeremiah for a minute. 1:8, in the last part of the verse. For then you will prosper. No, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. When we worship and we praise God, He prospers us. He guides us and directs us. And He helps us. I like to have a prosperous way. And I like to have light to light my way. Hallelujah. We're thankful, Father. We're so thankful. I want to go to Proverbs while you're preparing your offerings and just getting your heart ready to receive tonight. We're going to receive the tithes and offerings, but I just want to share Proverbs with you for a moment. It'll give you time to write out your offerings. And it says in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be overflown with new wine. As Dwayne and I got ready tonight, we have been very prosperous in not only the financial realm, but also in fruits of our tree, and fruits of our ground. And so tonight, as you leave, we would like you to take some peaches from our tree that have been very prosperous. Fruit from the ground, if you can handle another zucchini and summer squash. I told Pastor C, if you don't want to receive any more zucchini, you better start praying for a crop failure in that area, because we are very prolific. Okay, so I haven't figured out anything else to make with zucchini, but breads, soups, salads you put them in, oh, everything. I was thinking, trying what I could do, dips, yeah, cookies, bake them, grill them. I could make 101 ways to make zucchini. That might be a good book. So... Yeah, you can't have a better offer than that. So we are prosperous in everything we put our hand to, whether it's praising God, whether it's life itself. Everything we do brings glory to God. And in bringing that glory to God, He helps us to prosper in everything we put our hands to. So tonight, we're just going to give Him back a little bit of what He's given to us. So if you need an envelope, raise your hand. I just want to remind people that if you would like to sponsor somebody for a Baraka, go ahead and put that money in the envelope and just put it to where you would like it to go and whom you would like to receive it, okay? But we're going to just pray over this offering, because let me tell you, when we pray over our things, they prosper. I don't care if it's the fruit of the ground, the fruit of the tree, the fruit of your womb. Everything prospers when you're in God. So, Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you that we are prosperous persons and people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that everything we lay our hands to brings more. So we thank you that we bring our offerings and our tithes to you tonight. And we are just thankful, Father God, for everything you're doing in our lives. I thank you for all the people that I've heard that have new jobs, better paying jobs, Lord. Jobs that are going to increase them and that they're going to be a blessing to others. So, Father, we just thank you for tonight. We ask you to continue to be with each one of us as we hear your word spoken forth tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
We have such a wonderful body that all of us serve in one place or the other, that we each one are really blessed by God to be able to serve and to be a blessing to the body. As I was getting ready, Dwayne said, would you like to do the message tonight? And I said, you betcha. I never pass up an opportunity to praise God, to thank him for all he's done for me. And I've had the opportunity in these past, I don't know, probably a few months, I'll say, to experience God in a different way in faith. We're going to talk about faith tonight and the word of faith. I'm going to preach the word of faith to you tonight. Not only because you need it, because I need it. Okay? A few months ago, I injured myself and I'm recovering and I know I'm healed. And I know I'm a blessed woman. But I found that my faith had wavered a little bit and had got weak. Okay? And when you're in a faith fight, that's a very bad time to find out that you're weak. Okay? So I said, Lord, this has got to stop. And I was doing the, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Glory to God. But I was letting pain talk louder than faith. Now, pain has a voice, and it hurts. But faith also has a voice, and it's overcoming faith.
Amen.
Okay? So in the meantime, while I'm walking my faith test out, because I've been through many tests, many trials, many battles, but I have won every single one of them. So I know I won't lose another one. I can't lose. I serve a good God. Hallelujah. So I know that it's just a little uncomfortable at the moment. But this moment, too, shall pass. Hallelujah. And so I thought, well, Laura, if you are having some difficulties in this area, I'm sure somebody else isn't a faith giant yet. So let's go ahead and just speak about faith.
Amen.
You can't have enough faith. If your faith bucket is full, then you should be pouring it out on somebody else.
Amen.
But if your faith bucket isn't quite full, then you better be working on it and feeding your bucket.
Amen.
Okay? So when I was doing this, I said, well, okay, where do I start, Lord? And he said, Romans 12:1. Okay. I said, all right, well, we'll start at Romans 12:1. And it says, no, Romans 12:3, sorry. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, sometimes we can get a little high and mighty and think we're so faith giant-y. And then a trial comes and you let something get through. And you find out just how big your faith is at that moment. You know your God is faithful. You know your God has made you an overcomer. But in the process of thinking and doing, something happened to your faith. It kind of dwindled down. Because you haven't fed it. Faith is a thing that you have to feed. You can't just feed it once and say, I've got faith. Faith is something you feed and you build yourself up. When I think of a measuring cup, it has a fourth of a cup. It has two-thirds of a cup. It has three-fourths of a cup. It has a cup. So your faith may be you've got your measure because the Lord says so right here in Romans 12:3. So you have a measure of faith, but now you need to make it grow. And how do you make it grow? We'll find out. Romans 10. There's a lot of scriptures right here in Romans right this moment. So Romans 10, 8 and 11, 8 through 11. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach to you. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not just spiritually saved, your body's going to be saved. Your pocketbook's going to be saved. You are the whole package deal. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. I know that though my faith might be low at that moment when the injury came, I know that I can pull my faith back up, get my measuring cup up, start confessing my scriptures. I have scriptures that I confess, and I don't know if I brought them today. Yes, I did, because they aren't far from me. And now I found out even more so than ever, I've got to keep these scriptures. I keep them on these size cards, so they're hard to put away. They're always there. They're just the right size. Healing scriptures, because it comes with faith. Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes, I am healed. Matthew 8:17, Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I have liberty to be healed, whole, and set free from anything that would try to hold me back. Then Romans 8:31. If God is for me, who can be against me? Nothing can be against me. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. It's our responsibility to find out what is ours. Amen. It's our responsibility to know what he's given us. It's our responsibility to know the scriptures that will help build and feed your faith up. Okay? He has it in his word. He gives us the Bible, but we hardly ever delve into it deep enough to really change our lives. Because this is a life-changing book. Okay. And verse 17 of Romans 10. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So while I'm telling you the word of God, your faith is being built up from the little teeny measure that God gave you to the bigger measure, where you stand on your own feet, you quote your own scriptures, you believe God for things that happen, you believe God for tests and trials that may come, you believe him that you can overcome because his word says so. He's a good God. He gave us all the directions that we would ever need, but sometimes we get slack. Sometimes we think we're better than we are. And God is very good at showing us, listen, I know you're a child of God, but you let your faith slip. Very easy to do when you think you know it all. And then when your test comes and you find out that you're not all you thought you were, you get to repent and thank God for repentance and say, sorry, God, I blew it. Somehow my head got bigger than my body could handle. Okay? We do this. Some of us are honest and some aren't. Okay? But these are things we do. We think we can just conquer the world. Well, yes, you can when you're with God. But you know what? When you start conquering out these areas by yourself and with the faith that He gave you and your faith shield, you're in trouble. You're going to fall. Not necessarily because you want to, but because of ignorance, of thinking you're something you're not. Okay? So this is a good time for me to just cleanse my heart and let you know that there is repentance and God is good. And He's still on the throne and He still is in charge.
Amen.
Okay? Also here, Ephesians 2. This is just basic scriptures, but I'm telling you how we let our basic scriptures fall. We think, oh, we need to know bigger, better things. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Well, you know what? If you don't do the little things first, you're never going to get to the big things because it's the little things that are important. I used to tell my son when I told him to go clean his room and he would be done in a few seconds. And I'm going, how in the world did he get that room cleaned so fast? Well, he had a bed and it was high, so he shoved everything under the bed and put the covers over it. It looked clean, but it wasn't. So we, as wise parents, decided to buy him a water bed. And it goes all the way to the floor. And there's no place to hide anything under a water bed. So then he found the closet. Okay? But we can open the doors and look. Sometimes we have to open the doors of our heart and see what's really in there. What is God wanting us to clean out? What is He wanting us not to hide behind or hide under? We should be hidden in Him. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, not 8 through 10. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's prepared the way for us. All we have to do is walk in them. But we, it says, do the walking. He doesn't carry us through things. He walks us through them. That's why the Holy Ghost is here. He walks you through. He helps you go this way instead of going that way. He helps you so you don't get in trouble. Because we as human beings can get ourselves in trouble when we don't follow that word closely. And so we are saved through that faith that He gives us. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So no one's left out with no faith. Because when you're born again, you have faith because God gave it to you. He gave you that, the measure of faith. It is the. It says in here a measure, but it is the faith. Faith has substance of things. Okay? So we are sons in God of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 5. A lot of personal workers, you know these verses. So it's nothing new to you, but how often do you walk them out? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. If I was to look at the circumstances I was in, I would have got discouraged. But I can't go by what I feel or see. I have to go by what God's Word says. And God's Word says, Laura, you're healed. Laura, you're the righteousness in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ. You're precious in His sight. We have to think of ourselves the way God thinks. And that is, we are perfect in Him. We are perfect. Though if we look by our sight, we'll see our imperfections. But God, for the reason God is God, when He sees us, He already sees us as that finished product. He says, sees us totally as His children, perfect. No flaws, no wrinkles. We are perfect in Him. But it's us with our faith that we walk it out. And then 1 John 5. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We overcome this world with our faith. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to give you some examples to look at. Examples of faith. Mark 11. And Mark 11 isn't Papa Hagen's chapter, but it's what he lived his life by. Hallelujah. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe and you will receive them. And you will have them. So that sometimes we just say, Lord, I need to increase my faith. I know I have that measure of faith, but help me to increase it every day. Help me to know where I'm lagging behind and where if something should happen, I won't have the strength at that moment because I let my faith slip. Okay. And then it says, have faith in God. Or you can say, have trust in God. So wherever you see faith, you can put trust. Because faith is trusting God. No matter how you feel, no matter what's going around about you, no matter what's coming in front of you, you can overcome it. And also Romans 1. I'll just read you basic parts of this so you don't have to flip so much because we're going to flip some more. Okay. Romans 1, 16 through 17. The just live by faith. And so how do I live every day? By faith. When I get up in the morning, I say, thank you, God. I can put my feet over the bed and I can stand up. There were a couple of weeks where I could hardly crawl out of bed. It wasn't bad enough that Dwayne couldn't help me. But it's a very humbling thing to have to ask somebody to clip your toenails, even if it's your husband. When you've been such a faith giant and can do everything yourself, and then when you find out that your faith wasn't quite as large as you thought it was, and a trial and a test came and you weren't prepared, that you must be able to ask others to help you. I think that's the hardest thing for someone. We've been married almost 36 years to ask my husband to help me for something. I've always done everything myself. Honey, have I ever asked you to do things? Have I ever asked you, help me with this, help me with that? I've just did it. He saw I needed help, so he came alongside and helped me. But I found out it's a very nice thing to ask others to help you. And they're usually always willing to come alongside. And when they see you're having a struggle, and if you'll be honest with people and say, hey, I'm having a struggle here, can you help me? They're more than willing to. Because if you were in that situation, and if you would humble yourself, you would get your answers better. They would come quicker. It's the humble heart that gets God's attention, not the proud one that says, I can do it all myself. I don't need anybody. I can do it myself. Now, what does that sound like? It usually sounds like a child. Because a child says, I remember when I had to get dressed when I was a little kid. I can remember that far back, believe it or not. My mom would try to help me with my clothes, and I'd say, I can do it myself. Had the button, one up here, one down here, a gap in the middle, but I was dressed. Shoes on the wrong feet, different color socks, but I was dressed. But was I prepared and ready? No. I thought I was. I could do it myself. Well, you know what? The Christian walk is, no, you can't do it all yourself. You have to ask people to come alongside and help you. You have to humble yourself and say, God, I messed up by cheating my brothers and sisters out of helping me. That is a humbling thing, to know that you can't do everything yourself. God never asked us to do everything ourselves. He gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us to not be so stinking proud. Okay? And pride is stinks. It's the worst smelling thing, and you can smell it a mile away. Okay? Some more healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then Romans 5:1-5, it tells us when troubles come, they're there to steal your faith. That's what happens. When troubles come, they can steal your faith because you look at the circumstances, you look at the pain, and you forget, hey, God, thank you. I can overcome this. And then, and we'll never be disappointed when we stand on our faith, because God never disappoints anybody. When you come to Him humbly and say, God, like a kid, I messed up. Can you help me? He's always there to help you. No matter how much you messed up, no matter how goofily you're dressed, He's there. He says, oh, well, you do this and you do that, and you're all dressed nice and ready to go out. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, it says, finally, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. So it's being strong in the Lord, not in yourself, and the power of His might. Because your might isn't going to get it. His might will. And then I said, okay, God, always in the Bible you put examples of faith. And I said, okay, I'm going to just dig them out. So I did the work for you. Okay. The first one I found, oh, ye of little faith. So we're going to start there, but we're going to end up with great faith. Okay? So Matthew 6. I believe when I came back to Christ in 79, I told Him, you know, God, I can't go to church. I don't got nothing to wear. I found every excuse in the book why I couldn't go to church. And we had to deal with someone who said they didn't need to go to church. They could have fellowship at home all by themselves. Okay, well, you can't have fellowship all by yourself at home. You may think you can, but you can't. Because when you fellowship, sometimes you may be doing something wrong and don't even know it because you don't know the word. Okay? You need people who know the word to help you so you can have fellowship the right way with God. And you don't tell them, hey, God, we're going to have fellowship right now. So who made you God? Okay? I thank you, Lord. I would love to be in your presence right now. I would love to fellowship with you. I would love to just sit down and feel your arms around me, to feel your breath on my cheeks, to know that you love me and hold me and protect me. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. Okay. So the little faith. I went to the store and, you know, God sometimes will just be God. Amen. And as I'm going to Sears store and I'm looking through the rack, and that time I was a size 9. I've been many sizes, but I was size 9 at that time. And so I'm going through the clothes rack and I'm going, all of these are ugly. And I came across this red dress. Oh, I like red. Red's powerful. Red's good. It's a nice color. And it had white stripes and had a little collar on, little buttons down the front, little cuffs on the sleeves, all those things ladies would like. And guys could care less. But I had the right earrings to go with it, the right shoes, so I didn't have to buy any of those. And then I went through the rack and I looked and I said, yeah, that's in my size. Well, the size 9 was too big. So I got to wear a size 8. So he even gave me a smaller size to bolster my confidence so I'd go to church. You know, what we do with the games we play with God, when we do play games with God. So I got all ready to go to church. We get in the car. I says, honey, will you go to church with me? And he says, no, but I'll take you. I said, well, good enough. To my son, I says, come on, you're going with me. Because I didn't want to go by myself, okay? I hadn't been to church for a few years. So we got all dressed, got in our car. We had a nice little Toyota, and we're just driving down the road. And I'm just saying, I'm going to church. I got a nice dress on. I'm feeling good. And all of a sudden, we were in an accident. Someone pulled in front of us. The next thing I knew, I had coffee dripping off my nose. My dress wasn't quite so nice. Our car was smushed, and I got out because God's so good, he protected me. I could feel the angel's hand on my chest holding me back in my seat. I could have went through the window. That's how good God is. Even when we play games, he loves us. So I got out of the car, and I said to the girl, I says, are you okay? Because she looked pretty, she was more shaken up than me. And she said, yeah. She says, I'm going to work for the first time, and my mom let me use her car. And I'm going, oh, you're in trouble. Okay. So the problem was there was a truck driving right next to us. When the truck passed, we were still in part of its back behind it. She did not see us, and she plowed into us. Made a mess. I didn't get to church. We went home, cleaned up, and then went to my mom and dad's and said, you know what happened to us? And we just shared our misery. And we were a lot less financed because we had to fix a car. Sometimes things will come and you won't see what hits you. That's why you've got to keep your faith built up every single day. You don't want to get plowed when you least expect it. God will protect you. He will help you. But don't let your faith grow weak. Okay. So we looked at that. It says, do not worry. It says, it should say, do not fear. Don't be afraid. I always thought, I'd say, oh God, I need this, and oh God, I need that, and oh God, I need this. You know, I really didn't need it. I would have liked it. So eventually he gave it to me when it wasn't a need anymore, and it was just, I like it. And I got it. Not when I whined and complained I didn't have it, but when I just said, I don't really need that, do I? My son hates to go shopping with me because we get the cart when he was at home and a kid. He's a grown man now, but when he was a kid, we'd get the cart and we'd go through Kmart. I'll just use that for example. And we're walking through Kmart and I'm saying, oh, that's really nice. And I'd put it in my basket. And then we go up here and I says, oh, that's, we could use that. And I'd put that in my basket. And he said, Mom, can I have this? And I said, oh, yes, that's nice. That'll bless you. Okay, so my cart's full and I'm walking down. We spend probably about an hour and a half there. And then I walk back and I start putting this back on the shelf and putting, I really don't need this, put this back on the shelf. By the time we're ready to leave, all we have in the cart is, what's going to bless my son? Because as I'm going through shopping, I'm going, I really didn't need that. And I really didn't even want it. But it was nice just putting it in the cart and walking around. Because, you know, the people kind of look at you funny if all you do is walk around with an empty cart with nothing in it and you're going shopping. So I'd like to fill it up and then I just put it back. So I thought, I love to go shopping. It's very cheap for me. Okay? So I have the enjoyment of going and looking at stuff, putting it in my cart, and then putting it back. Well, that has nothing to do with faith. But I had fun doing it anyway. Okay? And then I want to look at the Matthew 9, and I'm just going to tell you these because you need to read them for yourself because you'll get something maybe out of it that I didn't get. But in Matthew 9, 2 through 6, it talks about the paralytic's friends. You know, a paralytic, he probably didn't have much faith. He'd always been like that. He'd been stuck on a bed. His friends were the ones who had the faith. They heard about Jesus and they said, you know, our poor friend, he really needs our help. Why don't we take him to Dr. Jesus? Why don't we rip somebody else's roof apart and stick them down the hole? Okay? That's friends, that they would go to that trouble to tear up somebody else's house and stick their friend down in the middle of all the people. I bet that was really something to watch. So Jesus saw their faith. Faith can be seen. You can see faith. You know when somebody has faith and you know when they don't. Because it's seen. Jesus said so. He said, when I saw their faith, so he saw that they had faith, and that guy got healed. Okay? Maybe not even necessarily that he wanted to get stuck down a roof. What happens if they broke his neck on the way down? They were trying to help him, but, you know, things happen. But not in Jesus' presence. Okay? He could have taken care of it. And then in Matthew 9:18, the father had faith in Jesus to heal his daughter. And he said, lay your hands on her and she'll live. So these friends had faith for their friend. This father had faith for his daughter. And then Matthew 9:22, the woman with the issue of blood. This woman had faith for herself. She had faith in God by herself. She didn't need anybody's help. She had faith. She'd heard about Jesus. She had nothing to lose because she was going to die anyway. But she knew if she could get to Jesus, he would heal her. So this woman had faith. And he told her, be of good courage. Your faith made you whole. It was your faith, her faith. And then Matthew is a really good chapter for building up your faith, like Hebrews 11 or Hebrews, is it 11, the faith of the fathers, okay? There are good chapters if you want to build your faith. But I needed to look at people who had their faith and what got their results, okay? And then Matthew 9:29, the blind men, Jesus told them, according to your faith, let it be to you. It wasn't Jesus, it was their faith that got them healed.
That's right.
Okay? And then Matthew 9, oh, this is the good one. This is how we should all be and how we should be for a friend for others. And Matthew 8, 5 through 13 is the centurion's servant. In verse 10 it says, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And Jesus, he'd seen a lot of things. This man had great faith. So we saw small faith and what it gets you, and we've seen what great faith does. Okay. So in verse 13 it says, go your way, and you, as you believe, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. We start out with little faith and we ended up with great faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, God is always going to ask you to do something by faith and trust him to do it. He will. He will ask you to do things that you don't think you can do. But by faith you can. Okay. And Hebrews 12:2 says, let's look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And Romans 12:3, we go back to that. God has given every man a measure of faith. So from this day forward, you know what faith will do for you. It will get you everything you need. Okay. I didn't want to keep you too late tonight. So you can go and enjoy that beautiful weather that God gave us. Check out the basket and get some peaches and whatever else. Because we don't want to take them home. We've got more at home. So enjoy yourselves and just be encouraged and have patience. Because with faith and patience, you get your reward. Okay? So, and I was looking at this one book. He says, faith is not a magic button that you push. Faith is a walk every day. I have my sayings that I keep with me. And it would be a good thing for you to do to get your healing scriptures on cards. Pastor has talked about it before. I did it because I needed it. And so I keep them close because you always have an opportunity every day to use your faith. Okay? Whether it's in traffic, whether it's a parking spot, whether it's a hair appointment, whether it's shopping, anytime, every time you can use your faith. So just be blessed tonight and know that your faith is growing when you feed it. Hallelujah.